Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, Tuesday, October 24th, 2023, 14 minutes past the hour, 48 degrees and clear skies here in the Marion area, and certainly about 15 degrees warmer than it was yesterday morning when we had our first frost of autumn this year, the autumn season. 10/23/23. Now, we've got a little bit of odds and ends to take care of here before we get into the big story of the morning. So let's go through these odds and ends. We have our ongoing announcements here. Kids Night Out, Kroger, Marion, Mount Gilead Road, October 30th from 4 to 6 p.m. Come join them for some free activities and treats. They will have stations set up all around the store for kids to enjoy. Treats are subject to change depending on the number of kids they have. Kids Night Out, Kroger, Marion, Mount Gilead Road, October 30th from 4 until 6 p.m. They're going to have cookie decorating and the game with the ducks in the pond and lots of candy. So that's coming up next Monday night. Dinner with the Presidents coming up Saturday, November the 4th, 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. This will take place at All Occasions Catering and Banquet Facility, 6989 Waldo, Delaware Road in Waldo, Ohio. Event pricing, $40 for VIP seating, $35 for general seating. Speaking presidents, James Buchanan, Andrew Johnson, Chester Arthur, Theodore Roosevelt. Non-speaking presidents, George Washington, James Madison, Martin Van Buren, U.S. Grant, Benjamin Harrison, Warren Harding, Harry Truman, and First Ladies Nellie Taft and Mamie Eisenhower. Master of Ceremonies, Colonel Edmund W. Starling, White House Secret Service Agent, 1914 to 1943, and Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States. Tickets, I guess, went off sale on October the 18th, but if you are interested in going, call the Historical Society, 740-387-4255, if you're interested in going to that event, and let's see what happens. Okay, going to run down a few things here before we get to the story of last night. Pumpkin pizza coming up this Friday. Going to be an interesting day. Bob Welsh coming in from Columbus, Ohio, and he's bringing in pumpkin pizza, a kiddie pizza, and some kind of surprise that doesn't have to do with pizza, that has to do with big feet. So tune in for our big, I guess, Halloween celebration this coming Friday here at WGH Talk. Still have not got a succulent. It's a long story at this point. But basically, I was promised a succulent last May. It still has not shown up. But I did get a picture of a succulent yesterday, and they look very nice. So if I got a succulent, I think I would be very happy with it. Have not ordered my gift yet in the catalog for 10 years of service at another job, but I'm thinking of the Studebaker radio over the females' jewelry. So I'm still working on that. Election night coverage will start here, 7:15 p.m. on election night. We've got a great night planned. We will not go off the air until all elections are called. Pastor Craig will be at Republican headquarters. Matt Morgan will be at the Board of Elections. Linda Sims will be at Democratic headquarters. I'll be in the studio with Carrington Nelson, Terry Tackett, Sean Kraft, Glenn Coble, and I believe two other people, and some phone calls that night. Bill Collins has agreed to call in when the race is called, so we will see what happens election night, but you won't want to miss it. Don't tune away. We will not leave the coverage. River Valley Levees going on that night as well. Fruitcakes are on sale. Can you imagine that? Boy, I saw them. And they're about half gone. If you want a fruitcake, you better get over to Kroger. because here we are not even out of the month of October, and half the fruitcakes were going from the rather big display. So if you want a Claxton fruitcake, you better get over there. Going to disappear fast. $4.99, I believe, was the price on that. And, of course, our big fruitcake toss. We'll probably start taking registrations for the fruitcake toss in the beginning of November. Two quick things this morning, and then we'll move on to our big story this morning. Want to tell you, now, this is an interesting thing. So I'm going through the line at McDonald's this morning, and I get to the first window, and the lady was there, and she took my money and was giving me my credit card back and my receipt, and I could see a gentleman, not an older guy at all, probably 30s, 40s maybe, was behind her, and he was trying to get to the window. And he gets over to the window before I pull away, and I want to make sure I quote him right, because I don't want to get this wrong. But he said, he basically said pretty much, "How's Charlie doing?" And obviously somebody who listens to this station, which I appreciate. And of course I told him that Charlie passed away over 3 years ago now. But the nice thing is that people still listen to Charlie. He's still on this station, 7 a.m., 7 p.m., and 1 in the afternoon. And it's nice that, in a way, he's being kept alive for future generations to listen. A lot of hours of Charlie. So it was nice to hear that this morning. And it was nice. Sorry I had to tell the gentleman that he's been gone for 3 years. But it's nice that the repeats play, and nice that that goes on. And that will go on for as long, certainly for the foreseeable future at this particular point. So that was an interesting event this morning, but it was nice. This has to do with our main story this morning. And I appreciate this quite a bit. Last night, I did attend the big city council meeting, and we're going to get into that here momentarily, because a lot of stuff went down last night at the city council meeting. But over the course, before I get into this, over the course of the city council meeting last night, it was referred to a lot of things. How do I want to say this before getting into this? It was... My interview with Miranda McGinnis last week was referred to at least a couple times during the city council meeting. So basically what I want to say is that I appreciate that people on city council listen. I appreciate that people appreciate the interviews, and I hope they're doing some good for people, because that's what we try to do here, inform and educate at the same time. So anybody who listens to the interviews, I certainly do appreciate that. And it was interesting last night to see that the interview that Miranda gave last week was listened to by quite a few people on city council, and people who are not on city council as well, and was actually brought up last night twice in the meeting. So that's very nice to know people are paying attention. Okay. Let's get to the meeting itself. Well, last night the meeting started off. Let's start in the beginning here. Last night the meeting started off with a presentation, and I brought back the agenda here. A gentleman named Greg Blate, CPA, CPE, CBA, Managing Director, Veritas Solutions Group, LLC. Now, Mr. Blate basically was talking about the problems that he and his group have had in reconciling the books for the city of Marion, going back to 2020 to 2021, that things in the system are not going as planned, numbers are not matching. Now, he did say there is no sign that anybody took any money or anything like that. It's just that things were not done properly. Was pretty much, if you want to bottom line it, it was pretty much things were not done properly, and it's causing a major problem in the software system. So that's where it all started last night. And from there, we went on and eventually got to the situation with the current auditor. Now, as many of you know, last week, Mayor Schertzer, two city council members, Ayers Ratliff and Mr. Rollins, called for the resignation of Auditor McGinnis. Well, it got a little more heated last night as Mr. Ratliff made a public information request to the auditor's office. And according to the public information request, which I do have in front of me here, dating back to July the 3rd here is the date on the first piece of paper I have, the auditor's office had been receiving notes from the IRS talking about their failure to file forms, which gave them penalties. Now, we talked about this in our interview last week with Miranda McGinnis about how these forms were not filed, our penalty. This is what it boils down to. Essentially, in the interview last week, I asked Miranda if the city was going to accrue any more fines than the already near $200,000 that they had already accrued. And she said no during the interview. She did not think so. Well, this was brought up during the meeting last night. This is one of the times the radio show was brought up, because now it looks as if there is a possibility that that could happen, but nobody really knows, because the contact with the IRS has not been made at this point. But basically what this public information request shows that Mr. Ratliff made of the auditor's office is that there were correspondences that were sent to the auditor's office dating back to July the 3rd, but nobody on council was aware, or the administration, that this was going on until recently, within the last month, I think. So this became a problem, and Mr. Ratliff, I think, was pretty much the one who did all the speaking last night on this subject, in that the auditor needed to go. And that if she was not going to resign, then maybe they needed to remove her. Now, and the law director was even called upon last night. How do we remove a sitting auditor if they will not resign? Well, from my understanding, and I did talk to Mr. Ratliff after the meeting, to my understanding, what you have to have is four elected officials sign off to want to have her removed. And I believe this, they're going to go the probate court route to do this. And also, there was some talk about collecting on her bond issue. So, that's basically what happened last night at City Council. Now, to wrap all of this up, and that's all kind of in a tin-type fashion, the meeting went for just about 2 hours. Now, I was able to speak, and this is right after the meeting was over, with Auditor McGinnis, Ayers Ratliff, and Glenn Coble, who was there as well. Bill Collins was there, too. Now, this is right after the meeting. The meeting had just ended, and these are only about 2 minutes each. But it was a spirited meeting, should we say, an animated meeting, maybe is the best way to put it. But Miranda McGinnis was the first one I ran into, and she did agree to speak to me last night for about 2 minutes. And here is what Miranda said right after this meeting in which all of this went down. Scott Spears with Marion County Auditor Miranda McGinnis. Miranda, it was an interesting meeting tonight. How would you qualify tonight's meeting?
Interesting is probably the best way to put it.
There's continual calls for your resignation. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I would think I would feel the same way anybody would feel, a little apprehensive, a little hesitant to really do anything, but I understand their frustration.
Councilman Ratliff seemed to bring up many concerns tonight, passed out a packet, public information request. How do you feel about that and the things that were in the packet dating back to July?
I was aware of them. It's not that I sat on them. I wasn't maliciously trying to hide anything. I was just doing the best I could to take care of things. And like he said, I'm doing the best that I can.
And finally, when it comes to the fines that could accrue from not filing certain forms with the IRS when it deals with, in regard to health insurance for the city, we did talk about that last week, and you had said that you did not think any fines were going to come from that. Is that any different now?
We may see some, we may not. I don't know. Like I said, I have a call tomorrow, Tuesday the 24th, that I plan on calling the IRS and speaking with someone about that. I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, again, we weren't assessed penalties until this year for 2020, so I don't know.
At this point, are there any signs or situations, circumstances under which you would resign?
Not right now.
What do you see in the future? Because I doesn't seem like this is going to stop.
I don't have any real opinion about what brings the future other than we'll see what happens when we get there.
Thank you, Miranda.
City Auditor Miranda McGinnis after last night's city council meeting. Now, the man who last night essentially made a lot of these assertions and brought the packet of public information, the public information request of the auditor's office, which showed that the auditor's office was receiving letters from the IRS dating back to July 3rd, was Second Ward City Councilman Ayers Ratliff. We spoke to Ayers right after the meeting, about a minute after speaking with Miranda. Here is Ayers Ratliff.
Second Ward City Councilman Ayers Ratliff joins us here. Ayers, tonight you seem to be most vocal in regard to the auditor. Can you kind of tintype it for our audience what issues you brought up tonight and where do we go from here?
You know, I'm not sure where we go from here other than we have to have a new auditor. We can't continue down the path of someone who consistently never meets deadlines, meets zero deadlines, incurs hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of interest, fines, and penalties, wants to blame it on the previous administration when these are clearly under her watch. He was gone the entire time that some of these reporting periods were. And, you know, I outlined over $400,000 of interest, fines, and penalties that happened while she has been in office. And we cannot continue this because we can't afford it.
Well, I just spoke with her moments ago, and she said there's still no circumstance under which she would resign at this point. Are you going to seek to have her removed from office?
So actually, I believe Councilman Rollins is going to take the lead on that. He just talked to me briefly afterwards, asked me for some of more of the information that I had. But yes, I'm going to be supportive of him on that.
When it comes to that, what would that process look like? Does council have to vote on that? Does there have to be a, or do we know at this point?
What it does is it takes four elected officials. He said he has talked to the mayor, he's talked to me, and I believe he's talking to Jason Schauber. So he has his four because he's going to sign it as well. I mean, I think there would be a lot more that would sign that too, but it only takes four. I think there's several different processes. He's going to take one through the probate court, and we'll see where that goes.
And there was a question brought up on the radio the other day. If she were removed or she did resign, who would go into that position? She's running unopposed in the fall.
Well, right now that goes to the Republican Party, and that goes there to the end of the year. It would go to her committee after that if they would fail to act. I believe it goes to City Council. I would have to totally brush up on that. But, you know, there's an old song that Winona sings, and it says, once you've hit rock bottom, there's only two ways to go, up or sideways. So we can't get any worse.
Is this better or worse than Robert Landon?
It is Robert Landon 2.0.
Thank you, Ayers.
Thank you.
Second Ward City Councilman Ayers Ratliff, immediately following last night's city council meeting, spoke to one more person as people were coming out, Democratic candidate for Mayor Glenn Coble. 2 weeks left to go today until his until election night. And Glenn saw what was going on with the auditor. We got his thoughts on that and the upcoming election. Here is Glenn Coble.
Yeah.
Here we are at Democratic mayoral candidate Glenn Coble. Two quick questions for you tonight. Glenn, what do you make of tonight's meeting and what's going on with Auditor McGinnis?
It was a long meeting, wasn't it? This may sound bad, but I feel very sorry for her. She's put in a position where she came in and there was a struggle before she got in there, but she obviously is not doing a very good job of catching up. And I think she needs to be a little bit more forthright with her answers to our city council. And I think they're doing they have to do what they're doing right now and putting her feet to the fire. And that's what they're doing.
Would you support her removal if you became mayor?
I think I would.
You'd ask for a resignation?
Yes, I would ask for a resignation. I'm not sure if the mayor has that power. As a matter of fact, I think she's turned that down already. So, but asking is not forcing, and yes, I would ask.
I believe Ayers just told us that elected officials, as long as four elected officials sign a petition to send it down, that there would be some consideration to remove her. So you would sign something like that?
I would, yes. I think the job has been bungled enough, and we need the citizens of Marion to get the benefit of not having to pay $500,000 in fines.
Just a couple weeks left, Glenn, before the big election on November the 7th. How are you feeling with a couple weeks left to go?
I feel good. I've done a couple of things I wanted to do. First of all, I wanted to run for the office because I thought we needed to have a choice between the two parties. But I also have had a great opportunity to tell hundreds of people where I stand and where I think Marion needs to stand. And I've been driving my little RV around, and I've had all sorts of people coming up to me because I have big signs on the side of the RV that says, vote for me. And they come running up to me, and I have people honking at me as I'm driving. It's nice. I'm getting a lot of support that way.
Do you feel confident on November the 7th?
No.
No. Well, we shall see what happens. Yeah. Glenn Coble.
I'll be in your office.
So. You will be there that night. Democratic candidate for mayor, Glenn Coble. Thank you, Glenn. There you are, as you heard, Democratic candidate for mayor, Glenn Coble, right after last night's city council meeting. Well, there you have it. That's where we are in the city. The audience asked me to go last night, and I went. And I do want to thank Matt Morgan and Mary Ellen Withrow for attending that meeting as part of the WGH team. No better team than that. You can't go wrong there. All right, phone lines are open here, 740-751-4038. Any thoughts on this matter? 740-751-4038. You got to hear from Miranda McGinnis, the current auditor. Got to hear from Ayers Ratliff, current Second Ward City Councilman. And you got to hear from Glenn Coble there, Democratic candidate for mayor. And really, when it came to everything that was going on last night, aside from the mayor himself, Scott Schertzer, those are the big players in what's going on. Ayers made most of the assertions last night against the auditor. The auditor had to say what she had to say. And Glenn brought up what he had to say. Not very confident, I guess, at this particular point, with 14 days left to go until the election. All right, phone lines are open. Any thoughts on this whole situation? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Any thoughts on the whole auditor situation going on here in town as Second Ward City Councilman Ayers Ratliff referred to as Robert Landon 2.0. And of course, if you don't remember, Robert Landon was the previous auditor who resigned from office not too long ago. It's an interesting series of events, I'll say that. And the term I'm using to describe last night's city council meeting certainly was animated. You could clearly see the frustration that Ayers Ratliff had for Miranda McGinnis. Certainly the way he spoke to her and the frustration he had with her. And of course, we have the public information request here. that came from her office showing apparently things that city council, correspondences with the IRS, that city council was not aware of. All right. Well, we've got the interview with the auditor we did last week, which brought out a lot of feeling in people. We've got hopefully a decent wrap-up of last night's city council meeting. You now heard from the auditor after the city council meeting. Ayers Ratliff, one of the people who called for her resignation, second ward city councilman after the city council meeting. And Glenn Coble after the city council meeting. All right, any thoughts on this? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Phone lines are open. Now, I know a lot of people had a lot of thought, a lot of opinion about the Miranda McGinnis interview last week. Does anybody have anything to say this morning? Because it's certainly my belief after hearing the interviews this morning and obviously hearing them last night when I was conducting them, that resignation isn't necessarily the only way to go here and doesn't look like... At this point, it seems as if, well, 99% that there's another route that's going to be taken, and it's going to be removal. Now, will she be removed? I don't know. That decision would have to be made by somebody else. But it certainly seems as if four elected officials signing off on it, Ayers obviously is one of them. Mr. Rollins obviously is one of them. Now, the mayor, I guess he has called for her resignation, so we'll find out if Mayor Schertzer would sign off on it. And they said they had talked to Jason Schauber. I don't know if that was a firm he's going to sign off on it, but who knows? But that would be the four. 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I would just want to say that if we get an auditor that does the job, whether they're an R and a D, let's keep them. There's no sense of trying to vote and get your R on there or get your D on there. At the city government at this point, Republican, Democrat really don't matter that much.
Well, you know,
let's just keep somebody doing a good job.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because Miranda McGinnis is neither an R or a D. She's an I, an independent. Do you think that plays into this? She's really got no ship because Mr. Rollins, and I hope I do not have this wrong, Mr. Rollins is a Republican. Ayers is a Democrat. Mr. Schauber is a Republican. And the mayor is a Democrat. Those were the four names that Ayers mentioned. Now, it's interesting, two are Republicans, two are Democrats, and yet maybe she's got no ship. I mean, is that really what's going on here? Do the fines and all of this bother you, or do you think they're picking on her?
Well, yeah, it bothers me. You know, I don't necessarily know if they're picking on her. They're just pointing out that she's not doing a good job, but, you know, let's try to help her get... All I'm saying is, who was the auditor before Landon?
That would be Kelly Carr.
And she didn't do a bad job, did she?
By all accounts, no, I don't think so.
Let's keep a good one. It doesn't matter, RD, whatever, you know? And hopefully the people that will vote is people that are paying attention.
Well, let's get to this point, because they, obviously, if you listen, did you make anything of those three interviews? Those happened right as the meeting was over last night.
Oh, not really. I see. I understand that they care, but, you know, we can get rid of her and we can get somebody else in there worse, too, I guess. But let's try to work with her. If it can't be done, we'll get somebody new. But who's out there that's we can fill that position with that can do the job, that wants the job.
Well, it's interesting because if she were removed or resigned before January, I believe the Republican Party would choose her replacement. But if it happened after January, I'm not really sure what would happen. As Ayers said, he believed it would be city council, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter to me whether it's a Republican or Democrat. Let's just find somebody can, you know, do the job.
Well, do you think she should stay or do you think she should go?
Well, I think she should try to stay. I mean, get some more, you know, she needs to try to answer their questions, get some more work done on it. She said she's going to call IRS. I don't know, just throwing the towel in on her and getting somebody new is going to be any better. We get somebody new that doesn't know, you know, anything about the auditor's office, they might not do a good job as her.
Well, I think there's a fear right now going in. We've got 2 weeks till the election in which we're going to elect possibly a whole new city council, certainly a new mayor, and these people take office January the 1st. That's less than 3 months from now.
Well, too bad that there's not somebody opposing her, especially since there was this big question about, you know, her job and how she's doing, you know.
Well, I think one of the big problems right now is people are saying, listen, we're about to lose a mayor with 16 years experience. Who knows what the makeup of city council will be after the elections on November the 7th. The auditor's running unopposed, so she's going to be there unless we remove her. We don't have a bond rating. We've got fines accruing up to nearly $500,000. Is the new mayor going to have any knowledge on how to handle this or help the auditor if she needs it? Will city council have any idea of what to do coming in? I think all those questions are making this more of a pertinent event as we head into January 1st.
Well, I don't think either Glenn or Collins is going to be able to offer a whole lot of help.
Well, Glenn's comments there with 14 days left to go, and I said, well, how do you feel? No. Well, what do you make of that?
Yeah, you know, I just wish that maybe she would have tried to work him with Scott Searcher and, you know, the other employees there a little bit better, you know. There's nothing wrong with working with some, you know, Searcher and Martin Watts. You know, they know this job better than anybody in government right now.
Well, you know what's curious about the whole thing? Now, it's my understanding Martin Watts is still in the office. I believe he's the deputy auditor. Now,
I don't show a whole lot either if I'm going through this one. He's in there unless she wants to be the big man and won't listen to him or nothing. You know, that's possible.
Well, there are some questions, let's put it that way, I would imagine, for Martin Watts, because it seems as if he does make claims in regard to what's going on, but for a man who works in the office, is there any relationship between Miranda and Martin? Miranda, in the interview last week, seemed to indicate that there was a relationship. I mean, they work in the same office.
I wonder why Martin didn't run.
Well, Martin, you know, that's a good question, because Martin was the temporary auditor, but there was some, if I remember right, because I interviewed Martin once, when he was the interim auditor, seems to me like there was some issue in which the Republican Party, who got to appoint the next auditor, was not particularly happy with him. And I think, and this is just what I remember, they weren't particularly happy with him because they felt that he was being negative
toward Robert Landon when he came in and said things are a mess and he was trying to work with the mayor to sort out the problems. So
things was a mess. I don't see, you don't have to try to be negative. If you say the truth, you're negative. It's a negative on the people, you know?
Well, maybe he didn't run because he's working in the office. I don't know. Maybe he thought that would be a conflict of interest.
Well, whoever we get new, work with the whole crowd and try to, try to get some, help from everybody. If the guy working on the street department can give you any help, get the guy on the street department. I don't care who you get, just let's get the jobs done.
Well, I would say the mood last night when it came to the auditor was definitely animated. I don't want to say everybody was animated. Pretty much it was Ayers Ratliff who was speaking to her and speaking toward her in a very forceful way. So, that's where it was.
Well, I'm glad you went so you could report on it.
Well, I'm glad we got it back here, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Yep.
Hey, thanks.
Again, phone lines are open here, 50 minutes past the hour, 740-751-4038. If you get the busy signal, just means we're on the line with somebody else. But give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. There is a question there about Marden Watts, because he does seem to be saying things, at least to Councilman Schauber, I believe was in the story in last week's paper, that he felt more fines were coming down the way. But he does work in the office, so is he working with Miranda? What's going on there? Why didn't he run for office? All interesting questions, to say the least. 50 degrees, sunny skies here in Marion. Phone lines are open. Any thoughts on this whole matter? We would love to hear from you. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Do these matters in the end come down to Democrat and Republican? Miranda is an independent. Maybe, is this the long-term problem with being an independent? Even if you're in office, you really have no ship. You have no group to go to say, help me here. I don't know. I don't know if there's anything to that or not. But you heard the interviews earlier, Glenn Coble, Miranda McGinnis, and Ayers Ratliff. And I certainly thank them all for speaking with me when the meeting was over. I found that to be fascinating, to hear what they had to say. Again, phone lines are open here. Voice your opinions. This is the public square of the air. It's like a Dr. Seuss rhyme. 52 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Does anybody have anything to say, any opinions about the situation going on down at City Hall? And, I don't know that we've ever gotten to this point, to be honest with you. Even during the Robert Landon situation, I do not remember a point to where actions were being taken to remove him. Now, I'm not saying it wouldn't have gotten to that point, but I don't think it ever did get to that point. I remember the mayor did call for his resignation, but he did resign. I don't remember the timeline, how long it was after that, but I don't believe that steps were ever taken to remove him. Now, according to Ayers, according to what we heard in that interview, according to what I heard at the city council meeting last night, steps are apparently being taken to remove this auditor. Now, why is that? Are situations worse? I don't know. I guess you have to make up your own mind on that. 53 minutes past the hour here. Any thoughts on any of this? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Would love to hear your thoughts. Because as I've always said, your opinions out there, I think, are much more interesting and in-depth than my opinions or my thoughts on what went on. I was there, but everybody brings a different thought to these situations. And heaven knows I'm not always right. I don't know anybody who is always right. But we just are where we are at this point. So give me a buzz here. If you've been thinking about calling in, we're getting to that point. 55 minutes past the hour here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. If you want to talk about this or anything else on your mind, could be anything. If you want to talk about succulents, if you want to talk about the pumpkin pizza coming up on Friday, if you want to talk about election night coverage, if you want to talk about the fruitcakes being on sale already, all of that's fair game here this morning. Doesn't just have to be about the auditor. Phone lines are open. Oh, you know, there was also some talk last night about these traffic, I don't even know what you call them, things that have been put out. Isn't that a nice word? Things that have been put up out there on Barks Road and Delaware Avenue in front of Wendy's. And, you know, apparently that was pretty much an ODOT thing. Apparently the city did not have a whole lot of input in that particular situation. So that's the way it goes. We talked about that for quite a while here on the program. Why did they put those things there? So that's the way it goes. Oh, I'm getting a message here. Am I still talking about succulents? Well, yes, it's become a thing here on the morning program to talk about succulents. Because first I talked about not getting a succulent, and then I talked about the possibility of getting a succulent, and then I got pictures from our friend Mary out there showing me what a succulent was, and then yesterday I think I got a picture of a full-blooming succulent, and I still don't have a succulent. And again, you know, if you don't want to get one, that's okay. You know, I don't want to pressure somebody into getting a succulent, but that's what it's all about at this particular point. You never want to pressure somebody into getting you a gift. That's not very nice. But I just never heard of a succulent. So to talk about it now has become an interesting thing. I think we all learn together here on the program. But boy, what a interesting night we had last night at City Council with what's going on with the current auditor. Fascinating stuff. Now, again, I do want to thank Mary Ellen Withrow and Matt Morgan for being part of the team last night. That was a lot of fun to have them both there. You know, you got to have more than one person at an event like that. You can do it with one person, but when you have a team there, it's fascinating to get everybody's opinions and thoughts and you know, certainly Mary Ellen, who has spent her share of time in government dealing with money. It was interesting to hear what she had to say. And Matt, who, you know, is just 20 years old, interesting to hear his thoughts. I don't think he'd ever attended a city council meeting prior to coming to this station. So that's the way it goes. 740-751-4038. 58 minutes past the hour. Anybody have anything to say on the whole auditor issue or anything else we're talking about this morning? From succulents to pumpkin pizza on Friday to election night coverage to fruitcakes being on sale in the stores to the auditor possibly being removed from office to calls for her resignation and an animated city council meeting. And the interviews you heard earlier
exclusively on this station. You're not going to see that story anywhere else. I will tell you that. Coming up on 59 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. This is where we are. Now, how we got here, I really don't know. But let's just say this is where we are at this particular point. I believe we have a big interview coming up next hour that you're not going to want to miss if you're interested in this whole situation. It's certainly one that I would not want to miss, and it's going to be live. So we don't know what exactly will happen or what will be said, but boy, we're going to be highly interested in the next hour to see how it all shakes out here on WGH Talk. Holy mackerel. You know, you can't ever say things are boring. Never say things are boring. All right, we're going to break here. We'll be back in 15 minutes with an interesting
interview. You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret. And I thought that was too much. Margaret Bradley. There's no rhythm to it. Of course, it doesn't. I think in the end it doesn't matter, but it's just whatever you think. So I thought, Marla, I wanted to end.